Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that it's the very core of our being to be in tune with your word and to hear what God has to say to us and how you lead us and guide us, Lord, by your Spirit. We want to thank you that, Lord, that tonight, that, Lord, is, I just bring this and share this, Lord, that there'll be just a little kernel, that, Lord, this might renew this in people, and that, Lord, it's, that I have its nesting place in their hearts, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Did you know, if I said you're called to the Lord, most people think it's Pastor Noble's been called to the Lord. He's got a call in his life, he's ministering. You read, that's about where it comes from, generally. Yeah, a lot of people nod to that. So I just wanted to say that we're all called to the Lord because the word tells us that we are. And I'm speaking on calling tonight, right? If you'd like to put that, please, Liz. I want to tell you how many times the word calling, and this is what I've put down here, there's more words to this, but it's in line with what I'm going to be talking about. And it's amazing how you look at this, that you are called of the Lord. And here we go, Liz, thank you. You've got a heavenly calling. I'm not going to talk the scriptures, I'm not going to read it out. You've got a heavenly calling. You've got a holy calling. You've got a hope of your calling in the inheritance of the saints. You're called to unity in the body. You're abiding in your calling. There's a calling of steadfastness, a calling of sonship, a calling of faithfulness. And there's those that are called the generation and the royal priesthood, and that's who we are. We're called a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. There's a calling to sanctification. We're called his sheep, and he calls us personally by our name. Our name is written in heaven. Calling to sanctification. I've already said that, haven't I? Made worthy your calling. And called to confound the wise and the mighty. It's a calling and it's a high calling. So tonight I'm talking about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14 says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word high calling in Greek is katalambano, and that's the word meaning for high calling. It's to seize upon, to lay hold of possession of, or to overtake, to attain, to apprehend, to bring to an end. In 1 Corinthians 9:21 to 27, and this is Paul speaking. Now I just want to just cover Paul. We know he was an apostle, mighty man in ministry, mighty man for all that he was and who he was as an apostle. I'll read this out to you because Paul says in this, he said, I gave up everything for Christ. And this is what it says about Paul, and it's just a little bit about him. He says, he was circumcised the eighth day to the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew to the Hebrews concerning the law, Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, all righteousness which is in the law was blameless. All righteousness which is in the law was blameless. But what things were gained to him, those I counted lost for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done. Now, we sometimes hear people say, oh, I've had a loss of all things. And that could be lots of things, but sometimes it could be valuable things, it could be health, it could be a lot of other things. And so, basically, this is what he lost. He was a man who was very educated, had a high position within the tabernacle and within the Jewish religion. And so, this is what we're talking about today, and this is about Paul. And I'll read it again. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians 9:27, This is Paul speaking again, 21 to 27, I should say. I made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. To the weak I became weak, as weak, that I might gain the weak, and this I do for the gospel's sake, and that they may be partaker thereof with you. Now, Paul's major drive was the gospel. That's what he was called to do. And then 24 says, know ye not that that they which run in a race run all. Now this isn't the Corinthians, no one. Run all. But one receiveth the prize. Now, know this tonight, that you're running in a race. You're called to run in a race. You're also called, but you're called to run in a race. Okay? And that I'll open that up a little bit more in a minute. And so that, then they say, and then it says that they may be taken thereof with you. And that's to win this prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate, moderate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. So you see, Paul is talking in an athletic term. Didn't you talk about athletics tonight? Paul's here talking about in an athletic term. Several places here, and he's referring this race and likening it to an athlete that is running a race, an athlete that's doing training, an athlete that is learning how to accomplish what he wants to accomplish to get his to the ultimate goal that he has, to win the prize or a medal or whatever it might be, but to be a winner in that sense. And so the run that they may obtain. In verse 25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate and moderate in all things. Now they do that to obtain that corruptible crown. But we are moving and running this race with Jesus Christ to win an incorruptible crown. We won't fade away. And so the Lord Paul says then, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I do not fight like a man who beateth the air. Now here we go, we've got a boxing thing again, a boxing person who's trained, and what he's doing is shadow boxing. And Paul's saying, I'm not like a shadow boxer. I'm not like him at all. He said, no, but I beat my body and make it my slave. Lest at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the race. Paul wanted to win Christ as a runner, winning a prize, that he might be found in Christ. He desired the righteousness that was in Christ, the righteousness that was by faith, not the righteousness that was in the law, because he was a man of the law, saying he had not obtained or apprehended Christ as Christ had apprehended him. Now he's saying here, I haven't attained and I haven't apprehended Christ like Christ apprehended him, to be the man called of God and to do the ministry he was called to do. Saying he had not attained or apprehended Christ as Christ had apprehended him. And in Philippians 3:11-15, he goes on to say in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, same thing, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I might know him, to know who? To know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, whoa, that's a pretty big call, okay? He's crying out and saying, that I might know Christ to the fullest of all that Christ had pertained to and went through and completed his course, died, resurrected, and went to heaven, right? And his cry, his heart cry is that I want to know him and the power of that resurrection, being made conformable unto his death, and by any means that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And that was his major aim, was to preach the gospel and to know the righteousness of the big pardon, to attain to the righteousness of the dead. He knew his race was not over. He had not come to the finishing line yet. He could not take for granted what he had attained to already in his call. In other words, here's this man, and he's saying, I haven't attained to that which Christ has called me to yet. And the other thing is that he really couldn't take for granted where he already had come to and from. The man in ministry doing marvelous things, signs, miracles, wonders, and also with the things that go along with ministry and people who are called to ministry, where there's things that go wrong and people and difficulties and so on. Paul suffered all that as well, big time. So he couldn't take for granted where he'd come from, and he knew he hadn't attained what Christ had given before him. He hadn't attained to, at this point of time, to the resurrection of the dead and the calling. That's what he's aiming. I want to go all the way, and that's going to be my prize when I get to heaven. So So he says, not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect. And that word perfect means mature and fully grown. If anybody says that, you know, we're moving in this place, and you hear the word perfection in the scriptures, always to be brought to maturity. And we see in the scriptures, you know, that people, if you look at the scripture, you've got people, and it talks about the milk of the word, the meat of the word, and the strong meat of the word. And you see in Hebrews 6, it says there are people who ought to be teachers, and yet they still have need for the milk. So it's a picture of no growth from the beginning when they come to know the Lord to the place that God wants to take all of us to, is a place of maturity. And so that word, if you see it again, it means mature, meaning fully grown. But then Paul says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, he's talking to the people now, and I must tell you that it starts off, he's talking to his church on a serious matter that happened. He's talking to his church in this particular scripture as to encourage them, really. And he says, I follow after, but if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now for an athlete, you know, he's still saying, I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. So an athlete is trained up, is getting ready for a big event. And so in that training, they go through lots of rigorous things to do that. They have to be trained, they've got to go and put themselves through the training regime. It costs them time, it costs them money, it costs them effort, and it costs them a separation from everything else that could hinder them or take away from what they're doing, or to cause it to not go, that person not to go as far as they possibly can with the prowess that they have in sport, because there are other things that take their place. And so it has to be a single mind, it has to be a purpose, it has to be something that's all you see, that's all you want to do, and in the training field, to reach a particular place that you want to attain to. Like Paul is saying, I have not attained to that as yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before us. We often hear Pastor Novus say, we have to forget those places we've come to before. We have to forget all the good things that we've had in our experiences in Christ. We have to forget all the things that have been bad experiences in our life, or the things that happened to us before we come to be a Christian. We can't contain those anymore. We have to be moving on to a new place. And so, you know, we have to grasp the fact that Jesus is taking each one of us separately, individually, to a place of maturity, a place of preparation maybe for ministry or whatever, but a place of victory. And it has to take the perseverance, it has to take the tenacity and the experience to say, I'm following Jesus with all of my heart, no matter what. Amen. And I want to see the finishing line. And so when an athlete's there, and if it's running, I've did some running as well, and you're going around, and you're on a, you could even be in a big competition, and as you're going around and you're running, particularly in a running race, you start to get exhausted. I used to do a half mile, and you run around the first lap, fine. You come around the second lap, and a quarter of the way through, you can't breathe, your legs are feeling like they're dropping off. You know you're running, but you can't feel it. There's this time that it all seizes up on you, and you've got to keep on pressing through. A lot of people pull out, they had to keep on pressing through. But as you press through, comes the change, and comes the strength, and comes the ability to go on to the finishing line. And then, of course, you set your goal towards that. And this is what this is all about tonight. I'm going to talk about. We have to set a goal before the Lord to say, no matter what circumstances, no matter how things seem, no matter what you see with your eye, no matter what's going on around you, I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm saying that for me tonight. And Paul was saying that too, with great fervour and with great plans for what he had for the church at that time. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, I'm sure I've written that, sorry. No trouble with my printing. And then he goes on to say, let us therefore, as many as perfect, mature age, be thus minded, and if any, I'm sorry to give him this here, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even his son to you. Well, what's that mean? Well, he wants you to come to a full age and be thus minded, and if anything otherwise minded, God will reveal this to you. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm stepping out a little bit here today, but sometimes when we hear the word and we hear a challenge, and we think, I don't know whether that's God, is that in the word? I don't know whether I quite understand that or whatever, you know. And the scripture says, and I see it this way, if you don't understand that, you know, ask the Lord to show you what it is. And the other thing is, it says that if that's the case, and that might be my interpretation, I could be wrong, that God will show it to you. You know, when people come to the Lord, and when they come to a meeting and there's some good heavy meat teaching or one thing or another, and it's so, and like, I haven't heard that before, they might be new Christians. And they go, oh, I didn't understand that. Say, so just put it on the shelf. Because as you grow, God will come to understand that. And so that's just another thing that he was saying here, I believe he was saying, that God, even God will show this to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. And that, I believe that's unity that's been spoken about there. I'll just go back a little bit. You'll have to forgive me. My printer died on me again. Okay. Always happens when I come to do this, but never mind. And, I'll just check myself just a second, please. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained a mature full growth, grown, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And the same here, that in this walk we have to do, if we have the same mind and the same thing, I put down a unity here. Because it's a marvellous thing, and I see this in our church since we've come and over a period of time. I've seen a unity taking place. I've seen loving and understanding and I suppose you can use the word camaraderie, which is not a very good word to use in Christianity, but I have seen that change taking place, and it's unity in the body of Christ, and unity in purpose, and unity in the word, all those things that is so important to the growth, personal growth, as well as the growth of the church in that sense. And then he said, you mark this as an example. Of that type of walk. Then he knew, this is me now speaking, he knew he was in Christ, he knew the core of his life was costly. He had been through heartache, physical pain, suffering, imprisoned, shipwrecked, rejected. He had perseverance and determination, and his eye was single to the purpose that God had called him to. And that's what I'm talking about, the athletes, the same thing that you see with Paul. In this regard, And so his goal again is a resurrection from the dead. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, and now whose God is in their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, and be found in him, not having his own righteousness, for which of the law, but that which through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And this is our call as well. And so I just want to now encourage us. I'll cut this right back. Get up and down. The scriptures tell us that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we have to work out our salvation. And it's really quite a call, isn't it, to do that. And I want to say here now, run your race to win the incorruptible crown. I'm talking to us now. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 3:13-16. Paul exhorted the church to diligence, seriousness in their walk as a Christian. Now this salvation is a personal salvation. Nobody else can do this for you. This is something that you have to work with and with God and walk with God yourself. It's personal. Don't judge others where they are in their walk in the Lord. Keep strict guard of falling into evil, persevering unto the end in the midst of trial, pain, suffering in your circumstances. The quest always involves sacrifice and selfish living. In your pressing towards the mark of knowing Christ, heaven is the prize of your high calling. This message is not really to bring condemnation or even to judge in any way, but encouragement to all of us to change and to grow. God's plan for our lives. See your potential, which is his purpose. Maybe not aware even that you're in a race. Maybe you're more feeling that something might be missing. You might be saying to yourself, where am I really going? I really need some direction in my life, or I need a clearer revelation of what I'm supposed to be doing and of God. Anybody can say now, well, it's mindful. Question. And this is the purpose, and this wraps it up of what Paul was saying. Are you forsaking all to follow Christ? Are we? Are we forsaking all to follow Christ? Have we got a heart for change? Are we ready to cast off the things in our lives that hinders the surrender to the Holy Spirit? Are we pressing towards our goal? Is there a passivity? Is there a fear or a misunderstanding? You don't quite understand what this is all about. Do you want less of you and more of him? Now I just want to give you just a quick testimony for me, quickly. You heard my testimony last week. I had an unsaved husband for many, many years. And it's a challenge to separate yourself from so much and walk after Christ. Mm. It is a cost, but it's worth the price. And for me, I just love the Lord so much, and I want to move on for all that God's got for me, no matter if I've got grey hair or whether my body's playing up or whatever. It's all about him. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about serving him and loving him and serving him with all of your heart and be pleasing to him. often says, well, Lord, I just want to please you. I don't want to mess up in any way. I just want to please you. And so this is a surrendered life, really. And this is what Paul was saying. He was saying, I just want to go all the way. What a man he was. I'm a bit like Pastor Frank, I've got lots of notes off of him. In Acts 20:24, it says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Galatians 2:2. I went in response to the revelation that was set before me, you saw them, the gospel, that I preach among the Gentiles, but I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some brothers falsely have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Galatians 5:7. You were running a good race. Who cut you off and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you would take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, I'm still preaching circumcision. Why am I still being persecuted? In the case of the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish that they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves over me. Okay. So he's saying here, you know, he's running the race, and then a little yeast spoils the whole flock. We see in the scriptures quite a lot where Jesus even had people who were protesting against him, people who walked with him and then they left and so on. And so this walk again is something that it is a personal salvation, it's a personal walk. And it has to be something that you're consecrated in, no matter what happens around you, is my encouragement then. And 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I've fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who long for his appearing. I hope this word has encouraged you tonight, because we're living in a time where Christianity is being so mocked at and scoffed at, and we need to know what it is to stand up for Christ, to live for him, and not be swayed by anything that's going to take us away from finishing our race and going the whole way with Jesus Christ. And so the high calling is our call for heaven. Thanks for praising me. Thank you. Thank you.